Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 20. Navyad Vridaye Yag Jino Brahmaditad Brahman Vadibir Na Uchanti Na Sochanti Na Vishanti Yato Gataha Navyad Vritye Yagnyo Brahmaditad Brahma Vadibir Na mukyanti na sochanti na rishyanti yato gataha navyavat ever increasing fresh pridayi in the heart yat as gyan the supreme knower paramatma brahman brahma Itat, this, Brahma Vividyabhir, by the associates of the Absolute Truth. Na, never, Muchanti, are bewildered. Na, never, Sochanti, lament. Na, never, Vishyanti, are jubilant. Yataha, when, Gataha, have obtained, translation purport, by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the supersoul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman positioned by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma-Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-Bhuta situation. Please repeat. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service. Devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the supersoul, within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahma position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma-Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-Bhuta situation. Purport. A devotee is inspired by the supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. A devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and that he helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Tesam satata yuktatam bhajanam priti viraktitam dhammi buddhi yogatam yenamam pupanchate. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. As stated, Kulasa Karmanam, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the supersoul, described in this verse as Gyan, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The supersoul gives instruction to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami, in this connection, says that the supersoul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart. But in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increasing transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Does everybody feel that? Everybody excited? Absolutely. Some days. So the more we chant, the more increasing the bliss is available. So Prabhupada guarantees that we're just neophyte, like devotional service on the altar, deity worship is for neophyte devotees. But we want to be perpetually neophyte or foolish in the eyes of the spiritual master. And so this whole sloka and purport is about super soul. Now, I think everybody's had the experience of super soul is guiding us directly, take a right, take a left, don't move, don't do this, don't do that. But ultimately, the more we can hear that super soul, that small little voice inside our heart, that's Krishna directing the wanderings of the conditioned soul. So that's us. We're being directed, guided. You know, it's a truing process. Okay, you're off. Get back online. The razor's edge is very sharp, and it's a direct line back home, back to Godhead. So if we stay on that edge and chant the holy name, and it gets ever increasingly more blissful. And if you're sad and you're lamenting, you got a problem, your wife is beating on you, she's talking too much, or whatever the problem might be, just ignore everything and start chanting, and then you're absolutely in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada says, if we're here in this Bhagavatam class, in this temple, we're in Vaikuntha, we're in the spiritual world, that it's not different by hearing, there's no anxiety, there's no fear, there's no hatred. The moment the class is over, we go outside and it all starts again. Maybe not so much here because it's Vrindavan, but in the West, it's like night and day. You're in the temple, you're here in Bhagavatam class, class is over, you go outside, and you start it all over again. And so, but here there's an option. You're in Vrindavan. So ultimately, you got the ever-fresh, ever-new possibilities of what happens on the outside, on the street. Okay, so being that it's ever-fresh, ever-new, that we want that. We want the devotional service to be alive and pulsating. And we want that invigorating influence that keeps us moving constantly through life. And so if we immediately started in devotional life, immediately we start recognizing that there is a God, that there is a chance, that there is a Paramatma, someone speaking through the heart, ultimately you're beginning your trip back home, back to Godhead. That's devotional service, just to recognize there is a God. So make that recognition. I mean, when you're outside talking to people who don't recognize God, now there's a whole brand new club. They're avowed atheists. They want to set up like a whole movement by which they believe that there is no God. And so how can that happen? How can people be so foolish, look around and see all the miracles that take place on a daily basis and proclaim there is no God? It really means they want to be God and they want that position which they're very envious of, and they want themselves to be in that high position of God. So that position is taken. There's already one God. There can't be two. So that position is already filled. So anybody who wants to be God, I'm sorry, there's no chance. You have to give it up, man. Forget it. Now, we have a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada, who exemplifies all these qualities of ever fresh, every new. Every moment, the servants that were with Prabhupada on a daily basis, they ascribe to that, like Shama Sundar was writing to me recently. And he said that every single moment, it was like you're in the spiritual world and the vibration, Prabhupada's body was cooling. And I experienced that the vibration of Prabhupada in a small room. I spent months in a room here with Prabhupada towards the end. And the vibration was like a heavy, heavy magnetic force that was like vibrating and filling not only that room, but the universe. That was the feeling. So we follow his lead in how to approach devotional service. And he gave us a very clear pathway. He said it can take us right back home, back to Godhead. Now, we have examples of that. Recently, one of my favorite friends and God brother, Radhapati, left his body and now gone back home, back to Godhead. I feel very envious. I feel cheated because he's gone already. I kept telling him, I want to go before you. No, he's gone. And it happened very quick. He got hemorrhage in the brain, had a brain tumor. Bingo, a couple days he was gone back home. No problem. Okay, so that's the graduation exercise that we can see it happening around us. So many devotees come here, leave their body, and ultimately they make it back home, back to Godhead. So if you're engaged in Krishna consciousness, if you're worshiping the Lord, if you feel a closeness to the spiritual master, then ultimately your pathway back home is guaranteed. Prabhupada, I was in a class in L.A. in 75, Prabhupada said that. He says, if you're chanting the rounds, the four regular principles, attending Mangalarti, I guarantee you're going back home, back to Godhead. Now, that's a blanket promise for everybody in this movement for time eternal. Now, everything is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. Devotional service is unlimited. The mercy is unlimited. Everything about Krishna consciousness is unlimited. Srila Prabhupada is unlimited. Everything is unlimited. And the more we connect with the unlimited, the more we have a chance of being unlimited ourselves. So that it means by attachment to the Supreme Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord, we become in a whole different realm. So material attachments all fade away. Anybody in this room is still attached to anything material? Raise their hand. Nobody dares. There's one. Okay, so actually, the biggest fault about material existence is that there's a material world there. That means there's attachments on every side of us. Everything we look at, everything we see, taste, touch, is an accumulation of a knowledge that our senses are acquiring. And it's all there to gratify our own well-being. In other words, we're here in this position, we're on this planet, in these bodies, in this prison house, because we want to enjoy. We know that. We know we try separately to enjoy from Krishna, so ultimately, now you try and enjoy it. You got these bodies, you're young, okay, you can enjoy more. But don't forget, it doesn't last forever, because you get old, and the body doesn't have the energy it had, I can tell you that. I'm 75 almost, and so I'm losing it, man. Memory is going, everything is fading away. I can remember like I had what I had, sometimes I forget what I ate 5 minutes before. And so, but this is what happens in the material world. So the bottom line here is that to forget everything material. And as soon as you are attached in devotional life, ultimately the pathway back home is guaranteed. Now this devotee, Radhapati, he was watering the trees, he was hugging the trees, he was chanting all around. He goes around Vrindavan 2-3 times a day. And his whole existence was glorifying the residents of Vrindavan, be it the trees, the cows, the dogs. He benedicted everybody. And he had little candies, and he'd give to the kids. So they call him Goliwala, because he always had these little round candies he gave to all the kids. So he was like the Pied Piper, and he was like being followed by the kids, the cows, the dogs, and everything else that grows and walks in Vrindavan, because he was feeding everybody. And so Prabhupada gave the prescription for this Kali Yuga, that ultimately we're here a short time, and to make use of this moment that we have in Krishna consciousness is to deliver others, not just ourselves, but to be frank and honest with ourselves that we have to give Krishna consciousness to the world. And so that's our obligation. And as it was a men here that in the purport, on the translation, that if we're engaged in the activity of devotional service, ultimately, just by that example that we set, by just being a devotee, ultimately that's good enough. But if we're preaching and we find new ways to preach, ultimately you affect a big, huge mass of people. Prabhu here has got a website with Bhagavad Gita, and he's, how many people tap into your 16,700 people listen to Bhagavad Gita by this Prabhu. Now, how about that? So all of us should find a way to do the same kind of thing, that ultimately we're here a very short time, and every minute counts. The same thing with this Radhapati. Every minute counted. It wasn't engaging in frivolous talk. He was immediately, you know, coming to the point. Like Prabhupada, he would turn everything around to Krishna consciousness. There was never a moment when he wasn't directing whoever he talked to, the debates and the conversations and the classes, everything, it just came around to the Maha Mantra and Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I got to talk also about this Shikshastika Sloka. We're in the 8th verse. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Now we should aspire for that. The tears will flow. And that absence of feeling the separation of the Lord should be struck deep in our heart. That ultimately we're feeling that. We're feeling, because you know we're very close to the time when Krishna was here in Lord Chaitanya, that separation is intense. And it's more intense the more we chant and the more we feel that anxiety, that need for more attention and more mercy. And so you have to be gluttonous. You have to be greedy. You want that mercy as much as you can possibly get. And so we had devotees here who were very greedy. And when Prabhupada was present, they would really go after the mercy. Like, I don't know if you see here, Grig Kripa. There was a moment when Prabhupada is standing in a puddle of his tears. He was crying in separation of Krishna. So as soon as Prabhupada walked away from the tears, he jumped on it, and he was licking up all the tears that were coming out of Prabhupada's eyes. And different devotees got so much mercy. I got it a few times, Prabhupada's prasadam. But the mercy of being around Prabhupada was the fact that he was a living example of devotional purity, of devotional service. The pure servant of Krishna is like something that you have to look at everything he does and the miracles that take place. It happened in Atlanta when Prabhupada was, first he started to do a Guru Pooj for his, it was a day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance. So he set it up. They had a chair with a Vyasa-san, like in the Prabhupada picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So Prabhupada, he cut off the Vyasa-san, he did the artik, and so as he was doing he was worshiping his Guru Maharaj, and so there was no bowl, no place to put the water after he offered it. He was saying, bowl. And as soon as he said it, it was Rupanuga. Hurry, bowl, hurry, bowl, hurry, bowl. Everyone nuts. They were jumping up and down, and the place went into an uproar. He wanted a bowl to put his water in. And said, what can I do? This is what I got to work with. I got these monkeys and all these untrained monkeys. I've got these people here. And so he was talking to Bhagaji here. He says, listen, in Narayan Maharaj, listen, I got all these monkeys following me. So please help me. You know, when I'm not here, you got to do something to help these monkeys. So we're all like dogs with dog collars, and we're followers of Prabhupada in that way. But then the water went straight into the tulsi plant. He threw it in the tulsi plant and went around the tulsi without spilling a drop or touching tulsi herself. And then he picked up a conch shell, and Pujari gave him the wrong conch shell by mistake. Nobody could blow it. So everybody's waiting to see what happens. Now Prabhupada's going to blow this conch shell. Does he really get it to happen? And he just, without taking a breath, he blew it 3 times perfectly. So then he gets on the Vyasa-san again, and he plays the Murdunga. So the Murdunga is way out of tune, and it goes boom, 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 boom. And he tuned it by playing it. So Prabhupada had an uncanny ability to make miracles take place right in front of our eyes. And so devotees will always remember those miracles. I can't forget. There was one time in L.A., Shishagornitaya Kijai, Krishna Balaram Kijai, Radha Shamasundar Kijai. There was a time in L.A. where the kirtan was just, I think, 75. It was like uproarious. The kirtan was penetrating through the universe. And so the devotees are going wild, just jumping up and down. We were all crazy. And Prabhupada's leading it and just, making it happen more and more, fanning the fire. Afterwards, he says, well, did you see who was here? Lord Brahma was here. Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, they all came. And what were they doing? They were all laughing. Why? But the Malachas jumping up on dancing and chanting the holy name. They think it's so funny that this is going on. And so Prabhupada had that sense of humor, and he inspired it through his connection with the demigods. And so one time in L.A., he came into the Fate Studios where I was working. I was making change in body displays. Okay. Well, what happened to me? Let me tell that story first. That I was lamenting I never get a chance to be close to Prabhupada because he had all the big guys, Brahmananda and others around, pushing away everybody, all the sannyasis. He couldn't get near Prabhupada. Only as close as you could get on the Vyasa when he was giving a class. So, this time I was lamenting because I was in the back of the room. He came to our studio, Fate, and so that's where we were making dioramas. And we were all artists working together. So, Prabhupada, they were giving a Guru Pooja and bathing his feet, and I couldn't see it. So I started to get up in a chair, and then all of a sudden, like Moses opened up the Red Sea, there was Prabhupada coming right at me. So here is Prabhupada right there. And so like I'm looking at Prabhupada, he's looking at me, and the time it took for him just to come up to me and walk by, he changed my life. I had a glance, and he glanced at me, and my wife, and my life completely changed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. But it happened to many devotees. I mean, I heard this many times, different devotees. Did you get it? So many devotees got this mercy. Prabhupada was very liberal. This is called the introductory offer. For those who were in that opportunity, that unbelievable mercy that was permeating Prabhupada, it was available. And so then he looked at a little bit at the dioramas, and then ultimately ended up in a tool room where I was working there, making it all right, you know, cleaning it up, making it good. So he spent all the time in the tool room asking about the tools. He was very happy. Pictures on the wall showing where tools went. He came out, looked at the murti where Lochan was making a Prabhupada Radhadamodar, the one that's in Fate in the museum. And so he smiled, and Prabhupada turned on, Lochan turned the motor on, and Prabhupada's head came up. There was a motor connected to the head. And so it's like the early light coming up in a diorama. And he's writing, and he looks up and sees the light. So he got, there's a picture of Prabhupada, a big smile, just he lit up the room again. And so then he comes over to the dioramas. You know, I was working on a change in body. I made a small one. And Bhardwaj asked, Srila Prabhupada, would you like this for your room? And he looked at the diorama. I didn't know, he didn't have to know he was in his body, or he was like his body's going to change. He didn't really need that in his room. And so he summed up the whole philosophy in two words. My room. He had palaces, he had palatial estates, he had everything. He was more rich than Birla and Tata probably put together. And so, but he had nothing. He was very happy in that shack, that bamboo thatched hut in Mayapur. But he dreamed of this massive, huge planetarium that was going to manifest. And that would take place in the future. And ultimately, that would change the whole mechanism of human society. Not only would his law books for the next 10,000 years be read, but ultimately his influence will take place in such a manner that mankind will change. Now, Nostradamus, you know who Nostradamus is? Anybody doesn't know? Everybody knows. Okay, famous seer back in the 500 years ago. He was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He predicted that in this age, coming at the end of the Yuga, or the end of the millennium, because he was the same as Lord Chaitanya, around 1450 also. Any case, he said that there will come a personality carrying a rod dressed in saffron, rose-colored cloth, and he will be like thunder. The people who listen will be very pleased by his words, very sweet, but those who are against him, the rocks will melt. In other words, they were referring to Germany and the government and the religion, natural religion, was against Prabhupada and against the movement. So the hardest point was there. Those were the rocks. In any case, it predicted that Lord Chaitanya, who was the emblem, the ornament of his time, Well, again, the resurgence after 500 years. That ornament of his time will bring out a philosophy from an old urn, and it'll make it new. So in other religions, it may fade away, but this new religion, this new old religion, will actually take its place. So referring to the Vedic knowledge, that ultimately Prabhupada brought something that revolutionized the world. And he said, if they know what I'm doing or what I'm thinking, they would try to kill me immediately. So Prabhupada, more dangerous than anything that ever came on this planet to Maya, the forces of material energy and Maya herself. And so Prabhupada staged a battle and he won. And so in those short years, Prabhupada completely revolutionized the whole system. And so they may go on. He's saying next 10,000 years, my books will be the law books. He said that in a car when Rameshwar asked him, Srila Prabhupada, your books are very revolutionary, not like anyone else who's writing. But you address the issues of the day, you address things that will come up in the future, and you will also predict, and you're compensating for anything that may come that will discredit and say your words are like outdated. He says, yes, he said, I am writing with that in mind, that these words, these books, will be always in vogue. In other words, there's nothing here that's going to be outdated, like as we're reading through this purport. So many wonderful points are being made. And so Prabhupada is striking home the idea of the super soul. And what really is important for all of us, to follow and listen to that little voice. That's our conscience. That's super soul. That's Krishna speaking to us directly on a one-on-one basis. So if we listen very carefully, and now it's the amplum, it's amplified a little bit more. The more you spend time in this movement, the more amplification that voice becomes. Ultimately, it'll jolt you, and a super soul will actually, stop you from doing something that's wrong. If you're going the wrong way or you might be in danger, something will take place and it'll stop you. And so Krishna's super soul, and Lord Chaitanya is none different. His effulgence is like the Brahma Jyoti. And there's a whole thing about this in this chapter about the Brahma effulgence and about the difference between this liberation that goes into the Brahma Jyoti and what happens in devotional service. There's no comparison. I know a lot of people who are satisfied, and they want that. They want the Brahma Jyoti. They're like God. They think, well, if you become like God, what do you want more? I got all these godly qualities. I get so much, wonderful things happening. I'm always happy. But it's continual. There's no change. But in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, it's variegated. Every minute is different. So being around Prabhupada was like that. Every minute was different, renewable energy that came as like a refreshing source, like a fresh wind blowing. And so we had that. And we still have that. Now, as soon as this class is over, you're going to go outside and the anxiety will start, the tension, the anger. You'll fight with each other. That can happen. But the main force of what happens in these classes, our connection with Krishna and speaking Bhagavatam, or speaking about Krishna and speaking about what he and given his words on different topics as Lord Chaitanya is speaking. And so ultimately that carries over through our whole entire life. Now again, refer back to this devotee who left his body. He was always like that. He was always jubilant. He was a Vietnam War veteran. He was a hero. And his whole life was saving people. And so they had to register when he was in boot camp for a level of compassion. Most people are uncompassionate. If you find somebody in the street who is like in suffering or going to die, what would you do? Would you walk by him or would you help him? And he said, I would help him. So instead of going through a boot camp and a training for just a reserve unit, he was put across the fence into a training for those going to Vietnam because they needed medics at that time. And so he became a very famous hero. He had four times wounded, Purple Hearts. He had a Bronze Cross with clusters. And, he got a gallantry award from the South Vietnam government. So he preached, although he didn't know what he was. It was before he was a devotee. He's looking to find out something about spiritual life. Because all these people in his platoon, all these soldiers are asking him for questions, asking him for answers. And he would try his best. But what was happening was people getting blown apart, you know, the ravages of war. His job was to pick up pieces of bodies and put them all together in bags. And so the reason for the war, as Prabhupada stated in one conversation in a car, is that it was created by the American government to do two things, to obliterate the hippie movement and to kill all the blacks and the hippies. That was the reason for the war. So they dragged it out. It went on for so many years. There was no heavy artillery brought into to that war. They didn't want it to end. They wanted to continue and perpetuate it to kill that hippie movement, which was destroying America's, the force of people who would come into later as consumers and followers and blind, you know, following in terms of what the government's giving. In any case, Prabhupada identified it. There it is. You know, that's what happened with the war. That's what war is all about. So there are powers of Rakshasas who are demon controllers in the governments. They get to the top, and they control, and they do what they do. So Prabhupada undermined this whole thing by this chanting process, by bringing Lord Chaitanya's mercy to this planet. Again, Lord Chaitanya was renewed, and so Nostradamus' predictions bear fruit. And so he predicted that the shaved-headed ones, he mentions this twice in one quadrant, the shaved-headed ones, they will change the world. They will, because Lord Chaitanya's time before and after, there's like a 100-year span, you know, the devotees before and after his period, that they presented such a strong force in the preaching at that time. And so the same thing now, that it mentions and predicts, Nostradamus is predicting, that in the millennium, at the year 2000, there was going to be a war. And so that was averted by the Sankirtan movement, and that was predicted by Prabhupada. If we chant, this movement is meant to stop war. And so if we're good at it, we're able to do what we should be doing by chanting and you know, joyfully executing devotional service, then ultimately there's no maya. So if you're not happy, if you're lamenting, you got some problem, so just start chanting more. 32 rounds is not hard. 64, you know, go on, more. So go deeper in the philosophy. So that's the answer to anything that's, I met people before when I first joined in Los Angeles. One lady was very sad. She was at the temple, but she wasn't happy at all. I said, how can you be here and not be happy? Because Krishna consciousness means happiness. It means ever fresh, what this sloka and this purport is all about. To be fresh, happy, renewed, and eager to do devotional service. Myself, I'm a painter, sculptor, architect, trying to be a writer, and I'm doing all these things. I'm trying to do as many things as I can to keep my mind free from anxiety and from maya. And so the more you engage your time, 24 hours a day, as soon as you wake up, even while you're sleeping, you should be dreaming about Krishna. And so the more you find ways and means by which we can all do devotional service and find means by which we can attract other people. So it's kind of like a myopic view that we're just interested, like sitting in a cave and chanting and purifying ourselves. It's okay. Now we get some benediction for that. But the real mercy comes when you're preaching and you're taking others and you're doing a big, huge understanding about how to make this movement happen around the world. It will happen. Whether we do it or we don't do it, it will take place. And so it's just a question of time before these things manifest and these 10,000 years, these law books will start becoming more and more prominent. Now Prabhupada's books are all over the world. And so wherever you go, you might find people chanting in remote places. But the world's a big place, and we haven't covered the whole world yet. So it remains to all of us to do something more about that. So I'll leave it here. Any questions? And anybody got any ideas they want to communicate? I got another one thing here. So whatever we do in our daily activities, one thing we should be doing is dovetailing, and that's part of what goes on in this chapter. We dovetail all our activities in Krishna consciousness, no matter what it is. How we serve in our family, how you treat your children, how we treat each other. Everything is dovetailed so that ultimately Krishna consciousness permeates our whole entire life cycle. So I've been here 35 years in Vrindavan. Prabhupada told me to stay here. And so every day I'm on the altar serving Radha Shyam. And every day it's something different, something new, something fresh. Now, how can that happen? How can you be here all these years and find something new and fresh? There must be something available here. So there must be a reason why it works. And so the same thing with chanting. The more you chant, the more it becomes easier to chant and the better it is in our Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna takes us over. As soon as the chanting process starts, ultimately we're not even in the material world anymore. So, one more point. The ultimate goal in life and everything that we do is related only to Krishna. And so the final goal is to find Krishna and to have that link so strong that ultimately there's no way that we can be separated from the Supreme Lord. So that's the ultimate end of this whole thing. If we can do that, then ultimately we have everything. That's the highest benediction. There's nothing higher. Go ahead. Yeah. You got a microphone? No microphone. Why is there no microphone? Broken? I can hear it all the time. Well, 12 years isn't a long time. I mean, we have more than 12 years to perform devotional service. But black pepper, it can help. You know, you can sniff a little pepper and you'll start crying. But the real cry, the real separation is how much love we have for the Supreme Lord. And it may take us 12 years or more just to find out how to do it. But ultimately, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking, so he has that. So we're not in that category, but ultimately, I've had experiences where, you know, it just pours out. You know, it just happens. Sometimes you get a blast of mercy. Krishna will be very kind to give you another introductory offer. And so we cry for that. Like Prabhupada said, the chanting is like a baby crying for his mother. If we can cry so loud, not loud, but intense loud. In other words, we don't bother everybody else in the room with our chanting, but intensely, you know, so deep that it reaches the Lord's lotus feet. And so then the tears will flow. I think everybody's had the experience at some point, and you wouldn't be here. We're not here if we're not getting the mercy and not feeling that love and that separation. So, but the more intense it becomes, and I've known devotees who are so intense. I mean, they just, every single second, they're just like, you know, they're on it. Now they're pushing as hard as they can to be Krishna conscious. And so Radhapati was like that. He pushed hard. He was doing everything he could. And every moment he had, it was like that. Now he's bingo. And within a couple of days, he was gone back home. And so that's a graduation exercise. That ultimately, we're a very short time here. And so the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. That the more we chant, the more we perform devotional service, the easier that gradation, that final graduation process will take place. And so don't wait for 12 years. Do it now. And just keep plugging away and just chant the strongest, I mean, the most serious chanting will bring more serious results. So the better our chanting, and that's the key to everything. It's so simple. Lord Chaitanya means living force. And so that living force in Lord Chaitanya will bring us to a point where we accept that we are God-like, that we are actually servants of God. And so the unlimited qualities of the Supreme Lord will dissipate into us a little bit, and we become empowered. Now, everybody gets that empowerment. I'm doing a drawing book on Prabhupada's life right now, and it's his whole history in drawings. It'll come out very soon. And so every time I do a drawing of Prabhupada, I mean, there's a story there. In Los Angeles, I was told to make the first murti of Prabhupada, and so I had to make drawings of Prabhupada to start the work. And so Prabhupada was given a class, and I'm looking at his profile, and I'm sitting on the side. And so I take out a pen and paper, and I started to make a drawing. And so I look up at Prabhupada, and he's totally different. Every time I looked up, his face would change, the color would change, his mood would change. It was like a kaleidoscope. And I look down, I look back up, a different person there again. So it was like a game Prabhupada was playing with me. And so then I gave it up that first day. And the second day I tried again, it was worse. It was a complete kaleidoscope. He wouldn't even stop for a second, even while I was looking. So Prabhupada had a big sense of humor. And so then I just, I gave it up, and he looked over at me, laughed, and just and smiled. So he was fully aware. Now there's a girl here, Aditya, who was in another similar situation. You know Aditya, dressed in white. Is she here? I don't see her. Any case, her story is funny too. Prabhupada came to the temple, I think it was Philadelphia, and so he said, I don't want anybody taking any notes unless you can take down everything that I say. So she knows shorthand. She worked in a bank, so she knows shorthand very well. And so she thought that was a clue or a key to her, that Prabhupada wanted her to start writing in shorthand. So she couldn't catch it all because she's so far away. She gets up and goes right over and sits right down in the middle of all the sannyasis. And everybody's looking at her. What are you doing? You know, what is this? Man, Mataji's sitting with the sannyasis. And so she did that, really brave. Then she sat down and she was starting to listen to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started giving a class. She started writing in shorthand. So the sannyasi behind saw this paper that looks like she's writing Arabic. Now, shorthand is just a bunch of scribbles, unless you know what it is. And so Prabhupada gave the class, and he's talking, and she's writing. And so once in a while, he would stop, make sure she'd catch up. So he was kind of dictating to Aditya as she was writing. And she got every word down. And she had that whole thing, and she passed it on to the devotees. So when Prabhupada was finished, he just got up and walked away. Didn't say anything, didn't look at her, just walked out. So Prabhupada had this amazing sense of humor, and everything that he did was like, just ultimately unbelievable. Any more questions? Did that answer the question? It's hard. How can you really, oh, Govinda. Thank you. Feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. That's the kind of mood we should be feeling, that separation of, with Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, it's unbearable. That if we walk out of this temple room and we don't come back here as fast as we can the next day or just spend more time in the temple, Prabhupada gave us an ISKCON sandwich, the morning and evening programs, that in between there is just a bunch of just something biting on your mentality. So ultimately, follow the program, chant the rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And it's guaranteed. Back home, back to Godhead. What could be better? Prabhupada's mercy on all of us, I think we should appreciate that. He's a connection. He's the live wire that connects us with the devotees and the spiritual world and the deities. So Prabhupada installed these deities, and they're very powerful. And they're pretending to be stone. Now, they're pretty good at it. They're not moving much. Now, but every day you'll see something different. You'll see the clothes are different. But you'll see something different on the altar in terms of your vision. You know, some people see them and they speak. If you're lucky, you chant and make that opportunity available to you. That means just deeper. The deeper you go, the more you'll be aware. Krishna will be aware of who you are, what you're doing, your seriousness in devotional life. So we ascribe for that. And ultimately, the success is guaranteed, and at the time of death, that's a graduation program, and you go back home, back to Godhead, like this devotee just did. Bingo, gone back home. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any other questions? You got your hands up. Anybody more questions? No questions?